Good morning.
Good morning.
Feels different up here this morning.
You're back into an edge.
Yeah. Let's start in 3 John, chapter 1. We've been talking about leadership out of Colossians, and we veered a little bit away from that to give a slightly bigger perspective on leadership, why lead, and that sort of thing. And we're getting into the concept, hopefully, today of discipline a little bit. And since we missed last week for Christmas, I just thought we'd start in John 1, 3 John chapter 1, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. A lot of the epistles were written by Paul. This one is not. But Paul always starts his letters with encouragement, and in the church body and in the family, leadership's goal is to get those in their charge to walk the right way, and that brings them joy, and that is the fulfillment of leadership, is when those under your charge are doing what is right, and they're walking in truth, and they're walking in love, and they're taking care of their responsibilities as they ought to take care of their responsibilities. Quick peek at Ephesians 4:7. This is a quick peek at church leadership. Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then jump down to verse 11. And he, Christ, gave, and that's the key word, gave, some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Leadership is a gift for those who are being led. Leadership never exists for its own purpose, or should never exist for its own purpose, but always for that of those being led. So, with that in mind, as we go into discipline, I never got around fully to introducing the concept of discipline a couple of weeks ago when we started off on this path. It was towards the end of my time anyways, and you guys had a lot to say about discipline before I could get started. And that's good. It's good. It caught me a little off guard. I know it wasn't intentional. But it made me realize that if we're going to talk about discipline, you guys seem to care a lot about it. And so we maybe need to take a more overarching look at it. But first, let's take a quick peek at a couple scriptures, just to show that God cares about discipline. And some of these first verses are talking specifically about the type of discipline where we're corrected. Let's peek at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12:4. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So if you are legitimate, you get this treatment. God disciplines all of his children. You don't need to turn there, but Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. God disciplines those whom he loves. But I also wanted to bring in Romans 2. You can go there if you would like to follow along. Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Actually, I'm just that piece right there is actually what I want to emphasize. God tries to get us to follow him, and he uses both discipline and kindness. Discipline, let's talk about discipline a little bit. Discipline, looking into it, I mean, there are two obvious uses that we hear in everyday life. Self-discipline, like if you look up discipline, you're going to get a lot of information on self-discipline, and then you're going to get some information on punishment. And those are sort of the obvious two. Some of you probably know certain arts and abilities, things that you learn are considered disciplines as well. Yeah? So you're really good at a type of discipline. That's interesting. There is a discipline in doing little things. We think of discipline more from a not doing something wrong, but doing something good perspective. But in its use, as I've discovered, it's more about learning how to do something, how to be. How to move forward. The types of things that you can become disciplined in are things concerning your body. Your body, your mind, emotions, even what you pursue and your goals. Those are all things that you should learn to discipline. And it is much easier to be disciplined than to be self-disciplined. especially if the emphasis is not on pain, right? Discipline doesn't have to be painful. It can be painful, and sometimes it needs to be painful, but that's not the emphasis of discipline. The emphasis of discipline is on doing what you should when it doesn't necessarily come naturally. You can be self-disciplined and get up every morning and make your bed. That is what, you know, if you do a lot of self-help stuff, or if you've ever been in the military or anything like that, that is sort of what they teach you. Get up, make your bed, and then you go through life. But it's also in working out and trying to learn something. The key to discipline often isn't, can you do 100 push-ups? The key in discipline, I heard a guy recently said, can you just make yourself do anything, right? If you want to learn to work out, do one push-up. The key is to be able to make yourself do it. If you do that every day for a week, then you can maybe do 2 push-ups. It doesn't have to be hard. The idea is you have to do it, doing the right thing. And so disciplining yourself is super important, but in leadership, the idea is to make that process a little bit easier. That's why we're born with parents. If you had to learn all of your disciplines that you have in life from scratch on your own, that would be very difficult, because the process for learning any discipline is to do something, to review it, tweak it, and then do it again. And you have to do that over and over again until you're good at something. Well, if you have a teacher, they can help you sort of jump the learning process and just tell you how to move. How do you tie your shoes in the morning? How do you do all of those things? So those are, in a way, that is what discipline is about. It's about getting someone to do the right thing. And it can be done in a friendly manner, and from time to time, it can be done with punishment. The concept that's probably a little bit harder for me to understand was the idea of disciplining emotions. It's something you can do with children. Most of you guys are older and have had kids, or you have siblings. Say a little child misbehaves, and I learned this from Michael Pearl. Again, what was that? No Greater Joy Ministries. And this stuck with me. It will probably always stick with me, because I thought it was such an amazing illustration. Because I was always taught that, you know, if a child misbehaves, you smack him, right? Or spank them, excuse me. You spank them, and then they know not to do that. And that works kind of good for a while, right? But you're not necessarily getting into the heart. Not necessarily, right? Some of them have a good attitude about it. They realize it, like, oh, I did wrong. I got smacked. If I do good, I get rewarded. And that's a great system. But sometimes you can see a child, they misbehave. They get disciplined physically in a way that hurts. And then usually, if you have a good parent, they want to, like, hey, you got disciplined, but now it's over. I love you. You give them a hug, right? And that is super important. But every once in a while, you get, and you've probably seen this, right? A young boy, he just got disciplined, and he knows that it was right that he was disciplined. But there's that ego, right? And you give them a hug, and they're stiff. You seen that? Stiff kid. And then you're like, hey, look at me. Smile. And you know, and you can see it, that there's like some kind of, you know, chemical reaction in their body, and they're just like stiff as can be. And they'll do what you want them to do, and they'll respond kind of the way you want them to respond, good enough to be able to walk away. And then if you're lucky, that child will eventually come down off of that and realize, okay, this is for my better good, it's okay. Or they will build anger, and they will never learn to deal with that properly, that discipline properly. And even that has to be learned. Now, Michael Pearl's idea was, and he taught this, and again, I thought it was genius, but a child in that state will obey, try their best to obey you because they don't want to be smacked again, right? It's just basic survival instinct. It's going to hurt if I don't do what I'm told. So he's like, he tells them to loosen up, and he wiggles their arm, you know, and gets them to kind of be like that. And the fact that your body and your emotions and your chemicals in your body, they're all attached. And if you can get that kid to kind of go like that, there's no way they can have that same emotional state. They have to let it go to be able to kind of loosen up. And this idea that you can train a child's emotional response to discipline, that is huge. And it's a big deal. So all aspect, but it's a discipline for that child, not you disciplining them, but it's a skill that child now has to be able to deal with adversity and then shake that adversity out, learn the lesson, shake off the adversity, and be able to keep walking in life. That's discipline, but a child has to learn that. And as leaders, it is our responsibility to teach discipline. Yes, to discipline, but to teach discipline so that those in your charge have the tools necessary to be successful. Any questions on that part? That feels like a chunk right there. Anything? Yes, sir.
Just a comment. I think the leader has to know his followers. I have 6 children, mm-hmm. 4 of which are adopted, 2 sibling pairs, and they're all different. And if we had the rest of the day, I could tell you all the mistakes that I've made with these children. Because I tried a one-size-fits-all approach, because that's what I was raised with. I didn't know any better. Right. So it seems to me that the leader has to know what he's dealing with, the raw material. You know, is he think of a woodworking? Am I dealing with a drone? Have I got red oak here? Is it a softer maple? We deal with those in a different manner. So leadership, it seems to me, you've got to start with what you know or what you have to work with.
Absolutely.
Again, that's bitter experience speaking.
Right. And you know, like I pointed out before, a lot of our leadership positions that we have in life, we're not trained for, right? We had broken parents, and so we're broken parents. And so when we talk about some of these things, it's not an indictment on how we did. Studying this felt like a huge indictment on my parenting, for sure, and leadership at work and different things. But it's just meant as an encouragement so that we can do better. Yes.
I think it's just absolutely critical that the leader live the discipline that they're pushing on the children or the coworker or whoever. If I want somebody to go to church and I'm trying to discipline them, mm-hmm. I better go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. The first thing someone under your charge will notice is your hypocrisy. Yeah. Somebody in studying up on this a little bit, somebody that I listened to said discipline is the root of all good qualities. I was like, ooh, yeah. I mean, it's not as good as fear of the Lord, I will say that, but it might be the second best thing. Yes?
Well, speaking of sayings that I think make sense, I read one a while ago, and it says, there's pain in life, but you get to choose. You can choose the pain of discipline, or you can choose the pain of regret. And, you know, what you mean by pain, there's a certain pain in doing what you know you should do, even though you don't feel like it.
Yes.
And yet, that pain probably is not as bad as looking back and, boy, I wish I had done this, because now I've suffered the consequences of not doing what I should have.
Right. Time is a little short. There's one other thought that I just wanted to bring out really quick, and that is from the leader's perspective, is dealing with your expectations. We often are not paying attention to how far somebody is from where you want them to be or where you're trying to get them. And to break down that ladder a little bit and understand that small steps get them there. If you set expectations too high and then expect them to have the discipline to achieve that, that becomes too much and it becomes discouraging, and then they can't get there. But by breaking up in little pieces, they can get there. It was, a lot of you know, I like to listen to Chip Ingram. He's a preacher online or on the radio. And he brings up, he likes to use a lot of lessons from his own life, which I like about him. I look up to it, and I'm too scared to do it myself often because, you know, you don't want to out yourself too much. But he talks about his son getting into a serious problem with lying. And it started small, right? Yeah, I finished my homework, you know, just. And it was little things, and it built to the point to where he could no longer respond truthfully. And he was getting in trouble for it a lot, and they were starting to pay attention to it, and they were disciplining him in the physical way, I think. I don't know, it's been a while since I heard this story. But he got in serious trouble, a lot of serious trouble. And at one point, his son came to him and he said, Dad, I don't know why. I know I'm going to get in trouble. I know it's wrong. I know the Lord doesn't like it. But no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, when you ask me a question, I lie. I don't want to, but I do it. It's become this habit, and I can't break it. And I catch myself right afterwards realizing that I did it. And you've been disciplining me, but I've been trying, but it won't go away. And Chip Ingram said him and his son, but they went to a gym because he thought about this and a little bit, and he took his son to the gym, and then had his son try to, you know, push up like, I don't know, 300 pounds or something like that. Of course, his son couldn't do it. And then he had him do a really lightweight, and of course he could do it. And he said, that's your problem, is we got to start with little things. We have to build that self-discipline up, piece for piece for piece, until you can do it. And so at that point, he stopped being down on his son and worked with his son to build that self-discipline. And that's our job. We are definitely out of time, so... Any other quick comments? Otherwise, we're going to pray and close up. Okay. Lord God, thank you for being a good Father who cares about us and watches our every step. There's nothing that I can do or anyone here can do that you don't intimately know and understand our motivations, why we do those things. Lord, and yet you are forgiving and trustworthy and full of compassion and loving kindness, Lord. You're a good caring father, leader, someone I know I can trust and depend on to guide me in my life, Lord. Please help us be there for those around us, whether to lead or to follow, Lord. Help us to be there for one another completely, poured out for one another. Lord, I ask for a great time in communion with one another here during break, Lord. Bless our conversations. Bless our time. Help us to be there for one another. Amen.